Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? If you're a Christian, you probably have. Chances are you were at camp and probably The Stand by Hillsong was playing, or they were probably in the Fifth Bridge of Oceans and you felt God's presence. And if you're not a Christian, there's a good chance that maybe you were hiking, or maybe you were literally on a mountaintop and you just looked out around you and you saw that you were at the highest place for miles. Maybe you saw the cloud line. Maybe you heard something off in the distance. Maybe something just felt different. The air was thinner, it was harder to breathe. Something was different. Well, as we start this new series called Life's Highs and Lows, we're going to be looking at landscapes in a prayer book that's found in the Bible called the Psalms. Now, if you're not familiar with the Psalms, you can flip right to the center of any Bible and chances are you'll find it. And today we're going to be looking at a psalm called Psalm 121, which is part of a larger part of the Psalter called the Psalms of Ascent, which is where people would go up this mountain to get to the holy city of Jerusalem, because in ancient times, people built temples on top of mountains, believe it or not, because that's where they thought they were closest to the divine. Now, how does this relate to your soul? How does this relate to you today? In today's message, our senior pastor, McGray DeVega, is going to take this whole ancient idea of mountains and how the divine was somewhere near the top of them and relate it to our own experiences of life, how sometimes we're slogging up mountains, sometimes we're in mountaintop moments, and sometimes we're descending mountains, and what that picture, both biblically and just in real life, can paint for us today. So check it out.
Let's pray together. Oh God, open our eyes to empathy, curiosity, and humility, that we might be generous and compassionate toward others and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. To read through the Psalms is to experience a travelogue for your soul. It is filled with landscapes and topography that connect with virtually any emotion that you are feeling in any situation you're facing. Every one of us has felt moments like we are walking through a desert, or longing for the coolness of a river stream, or standing in a lonely valley. The Bible is like a veritable gallery of Thomas Kincaid paintings. It's filled with landscapes for your soul, capturing the fullness of the human experience and all the highs and lows of life. So if you ever doubt the Bible's relevance to your life or wonder how it can speak to your current situation, just read through the Psalms. That's what our new 6-week worship series is all about. It's called Life's Highs and Lows. And each week, we'll explore a different psalm and how it depicts a landscape of life that you may be experiencing. There are the valleys of Psalm 23, seasons of loss and grief, the deserts of Psalm 107, times of loneliness and anxiety, the skies of Psalm 19, moments of awe and hope, the rivers of Psalm 1, and places of refreshment and renewal, the roads of Psalm 119, in which God guides us along life's paths. And it all begins today with one of the most prevalent landscape images in the whole Bible, and one of the most memorable and most profound experiences in our lives, mountaintop moments. Now, let's admit that it is a bit of a reach for us Floridians to talk about mountaintop experiences. Maybe one of the reasons so many of us head north for major parts of the year is so that we can see actual mountains, not pretend mountains that we have here in Florida. The highest elevation in our state, by the way, is called Britton Hill, standing at a whopping 345 feet high. That's 1/60th the height of Denali. And it's less than a mile within the Florida border. So it's basically Alabama to begin with. A few weeks ago, our children's ministry did a wonderful interactive Stations of the Cross in preparation for Holy Week with our kids. So they transformed the whole Hyde Park campus into a walking journey of the various moments in the Passion story. And our children's director, Kim Apthorpe, described the stations to me, including the one station where the children walk up the mountain to join Jesus as he hiked up the Mount of Olives. So I asked her, so how are you going to simulate walking up a mountain on this campus? And she said, oh, the kids will be walking up the inclining slope of the circle drive around our courtyard fountain. It's true. That is the highest point of elevation on our campus. Nonetheless, even we Floridians have a fascination with mountains. We crave mountaintop experiences. You know, moments when we feel like we're on top of the world, when life seems good and we feel in touch with God and our true purpose in life. So, when we read a section of the Psalms from chapters 120 to 134, these 15 chapters from the Psalms, we can relate to what the Israelites were feeling. These 15 Psalms are often called the Psalms of Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, Ascent, not just because they include images of hills and mountains, but also because scholars believe that these were originally words that were shouted and sung as Israelite pilgrims were ascending to the holy city of Jerusalem and approaching the temple. The Israelites believed that approaching the holy city meant going up to Jerusalem, not just in elevation, but in theological direction. Because even if they were approaching Jerusalem from the north, they said they were going up to the city because they felt like they were ascending into the very presence of God. Theirs was a worldview that was built on God meeting humans at the pinnacles of the mountains. Noah and his family were saved by God from the flood, and they stepped foot into freedom when the ark landed on Mount Ararat. Their great deliverer, Moses, received the holy commandments on the top of Mount Sinai. Their great prophet Elijah rained fire from God on the false prophets on Mount Carmel and heard God in a still small voice in Mount Horeb. And later, when Jesus arrived to introduce a new covenant with God, he preached on a mountain, he prayed on a mountain, he was transfigured on a mountain, was crucified on a mountain, and ascended to heaven from a mountain. Mountains throughout the Bible were holy places and holy encounters with God. I mean, just think about one of the most common names for God in the Bible. El Shaddai literally means God of the mountain. But what's also interesting is that in the Hebrew language, words often had double meanings based on the imagery and the mindset of the Hebrew people. So Shaddai not only meant mountains, it also meant breasts or bosom. So not only does El Shaddai mean God of the mountains, it also means God with breasts. God is not only powerful and majestic and inspiring and strong, God also nurtures and provides and nourishes and cares. So you can imagine, as the psalmist walked among those pilgrims, ascending the holy temple mountain, rising into the very presence of God to experience both the power and the provision of God, he recorded their voices as they sang the words of Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The Israelites saw the importance of the mountain was not just to experience God at the top, but to focus and worship God even on the way up. And that's the lesson for each of us today. Whether we're currently having a mountaintop moment with God, when life feels glorious and undisturbed and all aligned, or whether we feel like we are arduously climbing right now through life, there's something to learn about God and ourselves with every step. 2 years ago, my younger daughter Maddie and I flew to San Diego to visit my older daughter, who was in college there. And one day, Maddie and I decided to hike up Coles Mountain, the highest elevation in San Diego County. It's a 1.5-mile trail that ascends 940 feet above sea level. By the way, that's roughly three times higher than the highest elevation in Florida. And boy, did we feel every bit of it on the way up. By the time we got to the top, we had climbed the equivalent of 62 flights of stairs. And though the trail was clearly marked, it was filled with stony and uneven ground, making for a very arduous and cautious hike the entire way up. Here's a picture of Maddie on the trail about halfway up, and you can see the stony terrain. But finally, we made it, and here is a picture of the two of us finally having reached the summit of Cowles Mountain in San Diego. But here's the deal. We were only on the summit of that mountain for about 15 minutes, but it took us 45 minutes to get up there. And then we had to walk back down. And that meant that of the nearly 2 hours that we were spent experiencing Cowles Mountain, only a fraction of our time was a mountaintop experience. The rest of our time was spent walking up or walking down. And that's true of life, isn't it? As much as we crave mountaintop experiences, those are far less common than the hard journey up toward them or the careful journey down from them. So here is what is important for us to know today. Both the ascent and the descent, in both the highs and lows of life, as hard as they can be, they both can offer moments of grace. In other words, the pinnacle moments are not the only times that you can experience God. You can find God every step of the journey. Here's what I mean. As I climbed Cowles Mountain, it was obvious what a chore it was. My legs burned, my feet became sore, my back and my shoulders began to ache. And frankly, you may be identifying with those feelings right now as you are navigating whatever kind of uphill climb you are facing right now. You're just longing to get to the top. And it's hard right now as you are feeling emotionally, physically, even spiritually drained with every step. But here's something else to notice about uphill climbs, whether you're literally climbing up a mountain or symbolically climbing in your life. Because each step was treacherous, that uphill climb up Cowles Mountain forced me to slow my pace, to walk with intentionality, to be more mindful of each moment. And you know what happened? It made me more aware and appreciative of the beautiful views around me, just because they forced me to slow down. Uphill climbs, as hard as they are, they force us to pay attention. They prompt focus and clarity and a greater appreciation of the blessings that we might otherwise speed past. And you know what? You also exercise muscles that can be made stronger for the long haul. Going uphill might seem laborious, because it is, but it can also be beneficial. And then, after the mountaintop moment is over, there's always the descent. And that part always seems easier at first, right? You think, well, the worst is over. I'll just let gravity take over from here, and I'll just coast down from this mountaintop experience back to the bottom, right? Well, Maddie and I quickly learned that the descent down Cowles Mountain required caution, too. The walk might have felt easier at first, and our pace was quick at first. Turns out there was still a need for even greater caution, because we had to watch our feet to avoid even the slightest misstep, because on the way down, the fall would have been much faster and much more dangerous. Maddie noticed more on the descent that the soles of her shoes were wearing down, and she actually slipped more often going downhill than going uphill. And at one point, she even waxed philosophically. She said, "I think gravity can be both friend and foe." She's right. Downhill moments might feel more joyful, but they still require awareness. and attentiveness. When life is going well, we have to be even more mindful of slowing down so that we can savor and be present to each moment. So here's the bottom line. We love mountaintop moments, but it is the ascent and the descent that can teach us the most about life itself. They remind us that there is both grace and caution in every moment of life, whether it's an incline or a decline, or most often, some combination of both. And that's the paradox of life, because each moment can feel like both a high and a low all at the same time. Like right now, you may be struggling in some areas and liberated in others, uphill and downhill all at once. And you know what? That ambiguity is okay. And maybe that's why these 15 chapters from the Psalms are called Psalms of Ascent rather than Psalms on the Mountaintop. Because whether you are climbing or descending or some combination of the two, there is spiritual wisdom available to you right now to pay attention, to slow down your pace, to savor the presence of God, who's not just there to meet you at the top of the mountain, but to walk alongside you every step along the way. And God will help you so that your highs don't get too high and your lows don't get too low. And so that every moment, including this moment, can offer you gratitude and discipline and reflection and patience and joy. By the time Maddie and I got down the hill and headed for our car, there was relief and a sense of pride in our accomplishment. We also promptly drove to the nearest store to buy her new shoes. But mostly, there was gratitude that we were able to experience it together and that neither of us were alone. And neither are you. Let's pray. O El Shaddai, God of the mountain, God of power and provision, thank you for meeting us, both in mountaintop moments and every step in between. For those parts of our lives that feel like an uphill climb, grant us strength that comes through patience and an awareness of the beauty all around us. And for those parts of our lives that feel like joyful descent, fill us with discipline and reflection and attentiveness to your Spirit. Thank you for being with us in the highs and lows of life, one step at a time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you found this message helpful. Maybe it'll cause you to want to engage with the Psalms a little bit more. Look, if you're not a Christian, the Psalms are a great place to start just reading some part of Scripture, because they're just prayers that ancient people wrote, or they're devotionals that ancient people did reflecting on how God has worked in their lives. So if you're not a Christian, I'm going to challenge you to read a Psalm this week. Just check it out, see how it goes for you. And if you are a Christian and you have a regular prayer life or a regular scripture reading routine, go read a psalm this week. Heck, read a psalm every day this week. It'll make you better and it'll help you connect more with this series that we're doing. If you want to take this content further, we've got next steps below. You can find out about small groups that we have. You can find reflection questions where you can take this content further for yourself or with other people. I can't wait to see you next week as we continue this series. I'm Matt Hotho. I'll see you next time.